Bibles, please, now to the Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. I want you to look at verse 41 and also verse 46. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then in verse 46, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I've been bringing you a series of messages the last few Sunday nights dealing with the question of the soul. What is the value of a soul? What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And we saw that God placed a value upon the human soul greater than all the material possessions or all the universe. And then last Sunday night we talked about a soul being lost. And we asked the question, what did a man have to do to be lost? We answered that question, just nothing. Die like he is, and he's lost. The Lord Jesus Christ has made it very, very plain in his very simple statements, If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You just don't have to do anything to be lost. Just die like you are and you'll be lost. In order to be saved, you have to accept Jesus Christ. Now, it's just that simple. It's just that ordinary. The Lord Jesus Christ said, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And shall never come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Until you believe on the Son of God, you're dead in sins. Until you believe on the Son of God, you're lost. Until you believe on the Son of God, you have no hope. It's not until you come to Jesus and believe in Him that you become a child of God and that you're saved. Now, last Sunday night, I pointed out that when a soul was lost and you died in your sins, you went to hell. And we looked at the final estate of the lost, which is given to us in the last chapters of the book of Revelation, which is described as the lake of fire, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now, tonight, I'd like to just tell you what hell is like. I'm sure it'd be more pleasant for me to tell you what heaven was like. But the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of heaven and he spoke of hell. And what I want to emphasize in the first place is that hell is a real place. In the second place, I want to point out to you that hell is an eternal place. The third thing I want to point out to you, that hell was not prepared for man, but it was prepared for the devil. And in the fourth place, I want to point out to you that hell is the eternal abiding place of the lost. Those four things stand out in regard to hell. Now, I don't like to preach when I just separate the words of Savior from the Bible. You don't do that because that's a false contrast. Every word in the Bible is true and it can be trusted. And Jesus Christ said the Scriptures cannot be broken. Yet we're living in an hour right now when men are tearing the Bible to pieces. And even the liberals and the modernists who won't accept the statements of the Bible, they do say they like Jesus Christ. And they're especially concerned about the Sermon on the Mount. And so they say, we'll quote the Sermon on the Mount, and that has to do with peace and all these other things. and they pick and choose. Well, in any debate, if you know the ordinary principles of effective debate, don't argue with your opponent over questions where there is a doubt. Meet him on some territory where he himself will stand, and then completely rout him from the place where he himself is willing to stand. And it's a very easy thing to take the modernist and the apostates who don't believe the Bible, but who say we believe in Jesus Christ, and take just the words that fell from the lips of Jesus Christ and utterly slaughter them. And when you get around to this question of heaven and of hell, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who talked more about it than anybody else. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." He tells us that heaven is a place. It is a place where he will be. It is a place where we will go. And so as those who've been redeemed, we look forward to the glorious experience of leaving the body and going into the presence of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has taken away from us the fear of death. He's taken away from us the sting of sin. He's removed from us the penalty of our judgment. And we're free. We operate in the realm of freedom because we know that Satan will not keep us. He cannot hold us, and we shall not spend our eternity with him. We're going to spend that eternity with Jesus Christ. But this same Christ who talked about heaven turned to the religious leaders of his day, who should have been pointing the people of his day to heaven, and he consigned them to eternal hell. And will you turn, please, to the 23rd chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And in this chapter, our Lord Jesus Christ is denouncing the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. He calls them a generation of vipers. And in verse 33, he says, "Ye serpent, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Think of talking to the nicely robed, sophisticated, aristocratic religious leaders of Jerusalem. Why, he said they were whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautifully outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. The religious leaders of Jerusalem outwardly appeared to be righteous unto men. They were men in charge of the affairs of religion for the community. They ministered in the temple, and they were concerned with the services of the synagogues. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witness unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets." And you know what Jesus goes on to say? He says they're even going to be worse than those who killed the prophets, because they're going to kill the Son of God. And he says, "How can ye, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" You know, if any man talked like that today about the apostates and the modernists and the men who deny the Bible today, they'd call him an extremist. He'd be an ultra-rightist or something. He'd have ultra attached to him anyhow, because this kind of language is most uncommon. "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" And this is Jesus Christ, the meek and lowly Jesus. This is the Jesus that's so full of love that you hear so much about. by these modernists today who say God is so loving that he wouldn't dare send anybody to hell. And here's the Son of God, the gift of God's love, the manifestation of all the fullness of God's love for a lost race, standing up and telling the religious leaders of his day that they're the children of their fathers who persecuted and slew the prophets. And he says, ye cannot escape the damnation of hell. Well, if Jesus consigned them to hell, they'll be there. Because he is the judge of all the earth. All right, now turn over, if you will, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. And here we come to this beautiful Sermon on the Mount. And oh, how those of us who are the fundamentalists today love it, because we can take right out of the Sermon on the Mount itself and use it to confound these pacifists and these gainsayers who think that Jesus was just some sort of a nice social reformer and he had this message of love that wouldn't harm or hurt anybody. But in the 5th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, you find the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 29 say, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thine whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee, but one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." I'm so glad the Lord put hell in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm so thankful that he's got it all in there. And he said, "Oh, beloved, if your eye is going to be used to turn you away from the truth of the gospel, pluck it out. It's better that you only had one eye than that your whole body and soul were cast into eternal hell and that you didn't come and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ." Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ proceeds to say, "If thy right hand offend thee," if your hand is the thing that's causing you to stumble, your hand's the thing that's keeping you away from the Lord, if your hand's the thing that's going to bring about the condition whereby you won't heed, cut that hand off. Get rid of that hand. What's that hand compared to the eternal punishment that comes when you die in your sins and you go to hell? Oh, beloved, this is the kind of preaching that our modern man today recoils from. He doesn't want to hear it. He wants to follow a Jesus, all right. He wants some kind of a Christ to give him an idea of some good works and love, as he called it. But he doesn't want to follow a Christ who tells the religious leaders of his day, when they obscure the gospel and when they build up with their traditions and turn people away from the message of everlasting life, that they're going to be cast into hell. Hell is a place, beloved. And what I want to say to you people as you're listening to me on the air just now, if you're going to believe what Jesus said about heaven, you have to believe what he said about hell. There is no double standard in the ministry of our Savior. And there's no double standard in the preaching of the Word of God. If a man's going to preach heaven to his people for the comfort of their souls and the blessing of their lives, he must also preach hell to the ungodly that they may flee the wrath to come. There is no double standard in the Scripture. And furthermore, the Lord Jesus Christ came down here in order that he might deliver men from hell. Consequently, he ought to be the authority on hell. And he is the authority on it. He came down here and paid the penalty for the sin of the race, which sends men to hell. And since he came to deal with death and with hell, he's the one who beseeches men to flee from their wicked ways, turn and look unto him, and be saved and be delivered from the pains of hell. Now, of course, our Savior made it very plain that the hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Turn, if you will, to this passage
from which we took our text tonight, the 25th chapter, where our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 41 said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." The whole concept of hell, so far as God is concerned, goes back before the fall of man. It goes back before we became enslaved to the devil. When Satan rebelled against God, when this great and mighty angel, who's called Lucifer in the scripture, said, "I will mount my throne above the throne of heaven." And when God threw him out of heaven, "I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven." That's what Jesus said. The awful judgment of God against this archangel that turned against him. God prepared hell for him and his legions. And hell was prepared in the great providence and the dispensation of Almighty God as the place of judgment for the first rebellion that was made against him. When Satan sought to rule and to lift his throne above the throne of God. And beloved, the magnitude of the rebellion of Satan and his principalities and powers is something that you and I at the present time do not comprehend and cannot possibly know. The tremendous magnitude of what happened in the universe when Lucifer and his legions turned against the throne of God. And said, "I will establish my throne above the throne of heaven." That was the first great rebellion, and in it God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. So when our first parents, made in the likeness and the image of God, were tempted by Satan, and our first parents yielded and they fell under his dominion, then all that belonged to Satan became their portion too. And every man that goes to hell, which was prepared for the devil and his angels, go there because he is himself a child of the devil. Oh, when our Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to these hypocrites and he said, "Ye shall encompass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when ye have made him, he is twofold more a child of hell than yourselves." We talk about being children of God. We don't talk about being children of hell. And yet that's the language that was on the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He talked about the children of hell. And he said, "You men go out and you compass and you make your proselytes and you bring men under your dominion. And yours is a dominion that belongs to the devil, because you're offering your works and your traditions and all that you're seeking to do to tie men to yourself. And when you do that, you have made them twofold more a child of hell than yourselves." Think of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 23rd chapter of Matthew calling the religious leaders of his day children of hell. Why, that's preaching, beloved. But that emphasizes to you and it emphasizes to me the awful nature of rebellion against God. It emphasizes to you and it emphasizes to me the awful calamity that occurred when the human race fell under the dominion of the devil. It emphasizes to you and me, as it cannot be emphasized in any other way, the terrible calamity that's involved when man disobeys his Creator and turns against the Almighty God and defies his law. Maybe I better start preaching tonight to some of you people. But do you know why we've got so much lawlessness in our country right now? Do you know why we've got this spirit of civil disobedience? To me, it's the most ridiculous thing imaginable that these Negroes and these other groups are all going out and defying the law. And they say, "Give us another law." Well, if they defied the ones we want, they'll defy the one they get just as soon as they get it. It's the principle that's involved. Disrespect for divine law, disrespect for divine order, disrespect for the system of civil order that God has asked us to live under. And that disrespect is directly related to your respect to Almighty God. Directly related to it. And all this disturbance that we're having in the country right now is only a symptom of the godless nature of man. It's only a symptom of the rebellion that there is in the heart of man. And the remedy for it, beloved, isn't the kind of legislation they're asking us to pass down here in Washington, I'll tell you that. The remedy for this is the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the changing of the hearts of men, and bringing men face to face with the fact that there is an Almighty God. But, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ turned to these great religious leaders of his day, and he said, "You're just a bunch of whited sepulchers. You look good on the outside. You're supposed to be somebody. But inside, your heart's corrupt. You're like an old tomb that's white on the outside, and the inside is full of corrupt bones, the bones of dead men. And you're just like that." Now that's the kind of preaching that the Son of God gave to the religious leaders of his day. And he did it because they were the children of hell. Now look at your will, please, that 25th chapter of Matthew. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "These shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Now, beloved, those are the words of the Son of God. And if you're going to take eternal life and accept that, you can't throw out the everlasting punishment to the wicked. You can't do it. And I don't hesitate for one moment to stand here and I tell you with all the truth of the Word of God that the pains and the punishments of hell are going to be eternal. They are going to be eternal. And somebody said, "But oh, Dr. McIntyre, do you believe in scaring men with that kind of a message?" I don't care what you call it, beloved. You can scare them, you can do something, but I want to tell the lost sinners about me that they're going to die and go and spend eternity in hell. And they better wake up to that fact. They better listen to the preacher when he tells them that's the truth. And they better listen to this marvelous message which we're telling men everywhere, that they can have eternal life in Jesus Christ, and it isn't necessary for them to die in their sins. Hell is a place. It's a place that's been prepared for the devil. Hell is eternal, and we accept that fact upon the authority of Jesus Christ. The only reason I can stand in this pulpit and say to you people that the pains of hell are going to endure forever is because the Son of God has said so. And when the Son of God says so, we're going to accept his knowledge and his authority and what he's had to tell us about it. And oh, my friend, if you have unsaved people in your families, if you have loved ones connected with your family that are without Christ, if you have young people that are wandering off and don't care about the things of God or the things that belong to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I beseech you, my friend, to become concerned about their souls. I beseech you to pray that God Almighty will speak to them, and that before too long in the providence of God, they may come and put their faith in Jesus Christ. We have been delivered from the pit. We have been delivered from the precipice. We have been delivered from the greatest calamity that can fall a human soul. Everlasting punishment. I'm glad I'm a Presbyterian, and our own confession of faith says so. And all these efforts that are being made today, everywhere you turn today, they want to soften the punishment, tone down the punishment, eliminate the punishment, get the punishment out of the way. God is a God of love. God is too concerned about humanity itself. God wouldn't possibly let the punishment be forever. Maybe you might have it for a little while, but after that he'll make some concession. He's got a good heart. And you mustn't think of God as being this stern, severe, terrible God that's revealed to us in the Bible. And this atheist who had the Bible thrown out of the school, this Mrs. Murphy, that's one of the things she said about God, that he was so terrible and a God of eternal judgment, and she couldn't possibly have anything to do with that God. Beloved, I can have something to do with him
because He is the God who sent His Son to deal with my sin and my punishment. And I want to deal with Him. I want to listen to Him. He's the one and the only one who can tell you how to escape the consequences of your sin and deliver you from death. I want to deal with the God of wrath because He's the God of grace. I want to deal with the God of hell because He's also the God of heaven. And the God who's given unto us in Jesus Christ this message of salvation. How great is that salvation? How glorious is that salvation? Because it has delivered us from everlasting punishment. And it has given us instead everlasting life.
Oh, but you say, Dr. McIntyre, do you believe that the punishment that the Bible speaks about in regard to hell is to be conscious punishment? The answer is yes. It is yes. Jesus Christ said, "Ye shall be turned into hell, where the worm dieth not, and where the fire is not quenched." If heaven is to be a conscious joy among the people of God, hell is to be a conscious punishment among the children of the devil. Oh, my beloved friend, tonight I preach this gospel message to you. I tell you what's involved in this. And 100 years ago, this country was filled with preachers who'd stand and preach like I'm preaching to you tonight. But tonight there are very few that'll do it. We just skip hell so the devil can take everybody to it without having them forewarned or being cautioned against the awful nature of sin. We have to preach sin. We have to preach the law so you can see the nature of your disobedience. We have to preach hell. We have to preach the judgment of God against hell. But when you preach it, beloved, as I'm pouring out my soul to you tonight concerning this glorious, glorious message, when you preach it, you offer men the complete and only remedy there is. You can be fully and completely delivered. And that complete deliverance in Jesus Christ. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to walk into this pulpit? Isn't it a glorious thing to walk up into this platform and have the answer? Oh, they come at you today and say, "Well, these fundamentalists have all the answers. They're so dogmatic." That's right, beloved. We do have the answer. And we tell you what that answer is because Jesus Christ paid it all. He paid it all. And if you will believe in your heart that Christ died for your sins and that God raised Him from the dead, you'll never go to purgatory because there is no such place. You'll never go to hell because there is such a place. But Jesus has delivered you from it all. Oh, but you say, "Dr. McIntyre, isn't this pretty severe?" It surely is. Do you mean say you believe all that you preach to us tonight? I wouldn't have preached it if I didn't. I believe every bit of it. And isn't it an awful thing for a man to live on this earth 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years? And in a land like ours where the gospel's been preached and where the Bible's an open book and people can get it, and they will die and go to eternal hell. Just think what men are doing when they say no to Jesus. Just think what preachers are doing when they don't warn their people of the wrath to come. Just think what's taking place in our very midst. Jesus Christ turned to the religious leaders of His day. They made broad their phylacteries. They wore their garments. They had their collars. They had everything that gave them prestige and recognition. And the people bowed and scraped before them. And He said, "You're nothing but whited sepulchres. You're a den of thieves. Your bones are corrupt. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, you can't possibly get out of the damnation of hell."
And beloved, there's a many preacher living today who's going to get the same sentence pronounced on him by the Lord Jesus Christ. Same sentence.
You know this text, I'd like to develop some more of it, but you know what this text says? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Now I'm going to tell you something that will shock a lot of you people. Do you know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that sends you to hell? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't accept Him, He's the one who says, there's nothing left for you, my friend, but hell. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity.
You know, when I preach a sermon like this, there's several things that come to you. In the first place, a sermon like this makes you feel like you're washing your hands of the blood of everybody that listens to you. I'm not going to be responsible, beloved. I've told you, you're going to go to hell. My hands, I'm washing them. They're clean. There's a very, very freshness about it. I've told you, beloved, and if you're going to go ahead and reject the Lord Jesus Christ, your blood will not be on my hands. It's on yours. The second thing that comes to you when you preach a sermon like this is, you wonder what's wrong with the people. They don't feel like the preacher does. What's wrong with the people? That they're not concerned about our loved ones and neighbors that are going to go to hell. What's wrong with them? And then the third thing that comes to a preacher's mind when he stands and delivers a sermon like this is this. Why can't we get more preachers who'll get up and preach this gospel of the wrath to come? And then talk about the love of God that's revealed in the cross of Calvary, wherein Jesus Christ came to deal with our disobedience. Oh, you young men tonight, I call upon you. You young people here tonight, I call upon you to give your life to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take your years, take your strength, take your talents, take everything that God's given you, beloved, and spend your life on this earth dealing with heaven and dealing with hell. And that'll give you people who'll serve God. That's what you get. And that's the greatest thing we can do, is to bring men face to face with heaven and with hell. Hell's a place. Hell's eternal. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And hell is the place where the ungodly will spend eternity. The wicked shall be turned into hell. That's it. No wonder they don't like the Bible. No wonder the devil's trying to get it out of the schools. No wonder the Bible's under attack today, like it's never been before. Last week, Bishop Pike went down here to Wilmington, got up and said he's in favor of the Bible being in school. And what did the headlines of the paper say? Bishop Pike says there are hundreds of texts in the Bible that do violence to my belief. Isn't it nice he's got belief above the Bible? Isn't it nice he's got belief that's around the Bible? Beloved, my faith is not above the Bible. My faith is from the Bible. My faith does not deny the Bible. My faith supports the Bible. My faith would never attack the Word of God. My faith will submit to the Word of God. And I will believe what God has said. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank Thee for the gospel. We thank thee that as we've discussed this matter of hell tonight, it's so simple, it's so clear. And Father, we just ask that thou give this faith, this saving faith to everyone, so that we shall have no fear and we shall have no uncertainty, but we shall know that we have passed from death unto life. Oh, Father, if there's a single person here tonight who's listened to this stern warning, if there's a single person here tonight who's brought under conviction by the Spirit of God, don't let them die in their sins, Lord. Don't let them leave this place tonight, O Lord. Don't let them trifle with these great issues of eternity in their own soul. Oh, thou hast told us, if thine hand offend thee, cut it off. For it's better that thou enter into life having one hand than having two hands to be cast into hell fire. Oh God, we thank thee for this cross. It looms, it towers, it shines. It's our glorious, glorious message, towering o'er all the wrecks of the centuries. And God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that it was for us. He hung and suffered there. Now while our heads are bowed and we've made this prayer and you've heard the gospel afresh tonight, how precious this is, how glorious it is. Is there anyone here? Is there a woman? Is there a man? Is there anyone who says, yes, I want to make things absolutely right and I believe tonight that Jesus died for my sins, all of them, and I put my faith in Him? Will you lift your hand? Will you make that decision tonight? I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and He was raised from the dead. Will you accept the Lord Jesus, young man? This is the gospel. How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Oh, beloved, there's only one way to escape it, and that's to come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus and believe in Him. Is there someone tonight? I'll give you this invitation. Will you lift your hand where you are and say, yes, I believe, I believe, I come to Christ and I accept Him. Will you please? Will you say it tonight, my friend?